Amen. Okay, let's continue. I'd like to review this little picture here because everything comes in this understanding. Now, you have one group of people, one group of believers. Wherever the Bible says, then that's the teaching they take. That's what you're supposed to do. And that becomes law, and that kills, and eventually you're not able to do it. Another group of people, this tends to be us. Everything is by the Spirit, by life. Whatever direction, who knows? But anyway, we're in spirit and we're in life. Okay, God's economy puts both of these things together. You must have a parameter, principles from the Word. Then what those mean are only realized as you seek the Lord as the Spirit. So He will make real to you. When we talk about the different avenues of disciplining our kids, raising our kids, the Lord becomes the reality in thousands of different ways. Amen. To make every one of the principles in the Word real to us in our family. This is God's economy. In the past, my own feeling in watching things, we were very short of the Word. So we're just short of principles. What do we do with our kids? How do we raise them? So all kinds of ideas. Having, you know, 3- and 4-year-olds and children's service calling on the name of the Lord, releasing their spirit. How can they release their spirit? They're not even born again yet. We just did a lot of strange things. So to give you the principle of the Word, what does the Word say according to God's economy? But not only that. See, if you just have that, then there's all kinds of books in bookstores. How to be a father, how to be a mother, how to raise your children. That will not do you any good. Those can only be principles as you seek the living God to apply them. So basically, to be a Christ seeker is really the essence of being in the Lord's recovery. We are not people who have answers to everything. We only have a very broad principle according to the Word, and then we are seeking the living God. This is critical for our understanding. So and personally, I feel, when we talk about living the God-man life, when we talk about living Christ, when we talk about learning Christ, look how much of our life is in our family. So we had such a gap. You know, we had meeting lives, and that's where we experienced the Spirit. But my goodness, most of your life is in your family. Amen. In your marriage life and raising your children. Amen. On your job. We won't touch that, but that's got to be 90% of your life. And yet the parameters, the principles from the Word of how to know Christ in those, we were short. So that's the purpose of this kind of fellowship that we're having. Okay, now we're going to come to the second part of this sharing. And that's the marriage life. And you all have to make a vow at the beginning of this. Okay? Here's the vow you have to make. Whatever I share, you do not use it on your spouse as a weapon. As a club. Oh, brother so-and-so, he said you're supposed to be like this. Look at you. No, you have to make a vow. You can't do that. So a little bit, I'm first going to share to husbands. So the sisters, you have to close your ears. Then I will share to the wives. And then brothers, you have to close your ears. Actually, I've shared a little bit here and there on these two topics, husbands and wives, but never in detail. This is the first time I'll go in a little bit more detail. And I think generally, when we talk about the marriage life, it's usually fellowship to sisters. And the message is simple. Wives submit. What more is there to say? It's quite interesting, though. You know, the Bible actually spends more time, especially Ephesians chapter 5, on the husband's responsibility, not on the wife's responsibility. So following the Bible, we'll take that principle from Ephesians chapter 5. If you open your Bible to chapter 5, we're going to cover 23 through 29 plus 31, and then 1 Peter 3:7. And we'll go along the outline and the scripture. In Ephesians 5:22, we have the one verse, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." Then the rest of it compares the marriage life and particularly the husband's role as being the role of Christ to the wife. Now, again, you can see our principle is the triune God. So whatever the Lord charges the husband to do is actually what Christ has already done. So whatever the Bible charges you to do, you have the person inside of you that lives this way. Now, when the Lord's relationship to the church is entirely spiritual, but it becomes the model for the husband's relationship with the wife. Let's begin at Roman numeral 1. It says, husbands, love your wives by assuming your responsibility as the head of your wife and the head of the family. This is important. I'm the husband. I'm the father. This is my family. Just like Christ would look at his body, would look at his church. This is my family. I am going to do whatever I need to do to set a direction for my family, that it becomes a healthy family physically, psychologically, spiritually. It's my responsibility. I'm not casual about it. I'm not part-time. God gave me this wife. God gave me these children. This is my family. I'm the head, and I'm going to set the direction. You see, almost more important than your career becomes your family. Sometimes when young people get married nowadays, particularly typical Americans, I always like them to put off their marriage as long as possible. Why? I tell them, as a person, you get all your career done. As much as you can. As much education or training, whatever you want, you get it done. And when you get married, your priorities got to change. You are not first for your career. As soon as you get married, you have become the head of your household. Amen. And it is your job to take care of your family, that it becomes the best you can possibly make it. So that your family, now this is very important, bears the testimony of who you are. So you will set a direction with your wife, with your children. Whether you like it or not, brothers, your family testifies of who you are. Good or bad? I hope you can see. This changes your attitude right away. Because if you're just casual about it, say, well, whatever happens, happens. You know, how my kids turn out, you know, my marriage life, just all reactive. This is the way most people are. They're reactive. When there's a problem in the marriage, husband and wife have a problem, then you do something. Reactive. When there's a problem with the kids, then you do something. Reactive. Well, the Bible doesn't give you that option. The Bible says, just like Christ is the head. Wow. Look at his attitude. All those believers, I'll tell you, I am going to do everything that they bear the testimony of who I am. I will die for them. I will suffer for them. I'll give my life to them so that I will have a testimony of who I am. You see that picture? Now you transfer that to the family life. The Lord would say the first, when it tells the wives, submit to your husband. Look at the context. Be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. You see, even when the Lord tells the wife to submit, there's some context. You know, for us to submit to the Lord as the head is a realization. Wow, no one in the whole universe wants for me what is the best as much as Jesus Christ. He's my head. So even some things happen, unusual, I don't understand, I realize my life is in the Lord's hand. He knows what's best for me, and he will produce what he wants in me. He's the top. So what do? I submit, because I know he's the top. So the first qualification that the husbands need, take the reins. You know, this side, the man is well able to do this. And actually, this brings about submission in the wife. The more they have, the husband gives the sense of care for the family, love for the family, direction for the family, commitment to the family. There's something in the way God created us that automatically makes the wife, I just want to stand with my husband. You're going somewhere. And same thing with the children. Oh, the children are always so proud of their fathers. Particularly when the fathers have leadership and are directing. Even how spiritual is beside the point. But, you know, I know how much my dad loves me. I know how much my dad loves the family. I know how much dad is for the family. I know how much dad would do everything for the family. Then automatically there's a kind of submission that's brought into to the rest of the family. Sometimes we want our wife to submit. We want our kids to submit. But subconsciously, there's a shortage of leadership. They couldn't articulate it that way. But it's like, I need somebody to follow. I need an atmosphere that's going forward, that's for something. You know, we often quote Joshua, as for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord. Well, who creates that? The kids can't create it. So even the mother cannot create that in the family. That is the father's role, to take the headship, to lead the family, that they would bear a certain kind of testimony. Okay, that's in a broader sense. Let's come to Roman numeral 2. Husbands, love your wives. Now, indicating the wife's need in her emotions for security, for care, for understanding. And I'd like to emphasize this one word, her emotions. There's a need. Why would the Bible tell the brothers, love your wives? Think about it. Where's their need? Their needs and their emotions. You know, with we brothers, we just want everybody to get in line. You know, we have little fellowship, and you know, you understand, Bruce?
Oh, yeah.
You don't?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah. Tell Rick. Where you get Rick? Come on, let's go. You know, Rick will say, you know, but I just don't feel like. What do you mean you don't feel like it? Let's go. Yeah. See, this is you see a little conflict here. So, what did the Bible say? God knows darn well right that the husband's not in this realm. Emotion, honey, just do it. You know, where's the wife? Just, well, just full of feelings. And what are those feelings? Those feelings are, there's the need of security. See, the husband, how we hate to rely on anybody else. I know with me, I don't even like to give a hint. I need a thing from you.
I
need a lot, but you're not going to find out from me. It's just male. I don't need anything. Whereas women, very different. Sisters are very different. God made them that this way. There's the need of security, that I need my husband. In fact, it's interesting in Genesis, I think, that under the curse, part of what of the curse toward women is was going to be their need of their husband. In other words, God made them in that kind of way. I need covering. I need protection. I need security. I need to trust someone. Now, I would draw this comparison between Christ and the church. What do we need as the church? What does the Lord tell you right away? Does the Lord tell you, you just fight Satan. Give it the old college try. Well, we just all wither. You know, the Lord doesn't say, be tough. Face life. He doesn't. He tells himself, be tough, face life. He accomplished redemption for us.
Amen.
He accomplished through his resurrection and ascension. He became the high priest to minister life to us. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Then who are we? Wimps. I need you, Jesus. Strengthen me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Without you, Jesus, I can't make it. Well, what if he says to you, well, you sissy. I saved myself a real wimp. Stand up. He doesn't. He just, you know, is everything all right? You feel secure? You know, just look at my blood. Just look at the blood is there. Don't forget. You see this picture? I don't know, brothers, if you ever thought of yourself as a husband in this way, that the wife wouldn't have any kind of sense of ever being uncovered, would be secure, would trust, dear, whatever you need in this marriage life, I'm going to be for you. I'm going to stand for you. There's a kind of covering, a security, a trust. There's an understanding. The understanding, if I'm going to love, this is my wife, who has her emotional conditions, who has her feelings, who has her thoughts. I'm not, when I take the headship, it's not like the general in an army. You know, sweetie, get in line. No, there's the love. So how do I make my dear wife understand? I got to take care of her understanding. I've got to take care of her feeling. I see she's a little bit afraid, or she's a little bit worried. She's a little bit concerned. As the husband, it is my job that the wife feels so loved, so covered, so protected. You know, it's tragic, but it happens. And we see this. I'm sure you all have friends that go through hard times or divorce. Many times the wife has all kinds of needs. And the husband is, you know, in his idea as a good husband, not taking care of the psychological, the emotional feelings. And I don't mean to get into psychology, but the wife's different.